You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it like when Tatum play a Jalen on the breakaway, a Kyrie when he make a trade, and nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth that after you play it, you gotta repeat. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. And well wishes go to Gordon. Listen, after every game, it's very important, Millie's.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics Podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine, if any of you are listening at all. But we're here for you after an 87-79 loss to the Cleveland Cavaliers in Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Tough one. There's a lot of bad things that we're going to have to talk about, but a lot of good things. As we wrap up the season, I'm sure we're going to go through a bunch of different things to wrap up the season. We are the Raina Jays, John Corrales, Sam Jam Packard. We are live on Instagram, so you see him dabbing. You see me, I don't know, just talking. Just doing a little thing. You be sure to follow us on the Instagram, Lockdown Celtics on Instagram. We're doing this just to kind of give you guys a little immediate taste of what's going on, even though for some reason people still can't hear Jam Packard on the Instagram sometimes. But
I can't connect my mic to the Skype call and my mic to the phone where I'm Instagramming from. So if you can't hear me, you're going to have to deal with it because the technology situation has not been great. But we digress. That's not the issue that we came here to talk about. We should be talking about the Celtics missed every single shot they took tonight.
It was bad.
They did a damn good job on defense, actually. I think they held the Cavs and LeBron James to 87 points, yep. But they only had 18 field goals in the final three quarters. They played an amazing first quarter, too. But then just after that, they could not hit a shot. No one could. It was like Tatum had some moments, Horford had some moments, but they missed so many open looks, and it was frustrating.
Very frustrating. Let's run down some of the extremely frustrating numbers because really this game was lost behind the three-point line, especially Jalen Brown and Terry Rozier, who, if we want to look at it on a positive side, they're going to learn from this, but on a negative side, they shot 3 of 22 from 3. 3 of 22 from 3. Terry Rozier was 0 for 10. From three, Jalen only hit like a garbage time one at the end. He hit one early in the first quarter. So not good. Not good from beyond the arc. 7 of 39 overall for 17.9%. That's just, if those guys just shoot an average, even if they shoot 30%, that gets you another 10 points, 9 points out of Rozier. Maybe you give Jalen Brown one more so you get another 12 points out of this. That's the difference in the game.
Yeah, and they had open looks. I mean, I thought their points in their offense, they played sloppily and they could have done better execution. But the fact of the matter is they had, I think there's a stat floating around there, like 1 for 11 on wide open threes. They had an opportunity to knock them down. It's not like they ran a completely terrible offense. I would have liked them to see go to kind of more Horford in the post, especially in the fourth quarter when they picked up that fourth foul and they had the Cavs in the bonus. I thought they could have been more aggressive in the post there. But they got to the line a fair amount of times, didn't hit their free throws either. Even the free ones they were not hitting. But I don't know. Al Horford had a chance. It was 73-76, and he had a wide-open three to tie it. Even that one didn't go down. And so, yeah, I don't know. It's make or miss league is the biggest cliche there is, but like they did a lot of missing tonight and just Jalen and Terry, not great. The takes on Twitter I've already seen about like basically trying to trash Terry Rozier entirely is completely ignoring the fact that he just had a great season. Like, yes, the Celtics woefully underperformed in this game, and it's incredibly frustrating because they had a chance to make the Eastern Conference Finals. I'm not going to get onto the we're going to get Kyrie and Hayward back because I'm still frustrated about it in the moment. Like they had the potential to win this game. They just missed a bunch of shots, and I don't know. The looks were open. I don't know what else there's to say. They were not falling.
Well, that's it. I mean, it just really is it. I know you tweeted out that you're so excited to talk for 30 minutes about how the shots didn't fall. I don't know what else to say. When you have Jeff Green dropping 19 points, on the road where I was just shocked that he had that kind of game. That's not the typical Jeff Green game. And they got something very positive out of him. They got 12 points on 3 of 8 shooting from J.R. Smith. So they got something.
Yeah, J.R. decided to make a three in Boston, which he had not done in this series.
Yeah. So you look at this series, and games 1 through 6 were basically that cliche of role players play better at home, blah, blah, blah. Game 6 was a little bit different because Rozier actually had a decent Game 6. But in Game 7, when it all mattered, they had their veterans, at least a couple of them, step up. And the Celtics, they just got a couple of guys that normally play well, and they didn't play well. I'll throw Marcus Morris into that mix because he shot 5 of 14. He wasn't particularly great. He rebounded well. He defended well. So it wasn't at the same level as the other guys. Jaylen Brown just, what are you going to say about Jaylen Brown? He just had a terrible game. He just was not his day. And I think for certain parts of this series, actually he didn't have the best series either, if we're going to be honest. I kind of wonder what got into Jaylen Brown a little bit. He didn't look entirely as aggressive or as focused as he was against Philly, against Milwaukee. He just kind of looked a little bit dazed for a lot of this series. And Rozier's been awesome at home. He had a bad game. It's also, I will get into the Kyrie and Gordon Hayward stuff because this is the prime example. This is what you talk about in this situation when the shit hits the fan. These are young guys. And so Terry Rozier had a bad game. And hopefully he learns from that and understands why his focus wasn't quite there and can grow from that. That's all you can ever ask for from these guys.
Now, the thing that's weird is that Jaylen and Terry both had pretty good game sixes. It's just they really didn't show up tonight. And I thought Jaylen was – sometimes he can get too aggressive and really try and do too much. And I thought that – he kind of suffered from that in this game, especially. With that being said, there are like things you can take away from this game as a positive. This is like the most Kaizen thing, process of results. Jason Tatum was fucking awesome. Like, this guy was a rookie, and he dunked all over LeBron James, which was the coolest moment of the entire night. But just his poise in the moment, his ability to get his own shot, and the fact that he was able to go to the Eastern Conference Finals and play 7 games in his rookie season is a tremendous experience for Tatum and his development. So I think you can take away just like that is such a huge thing for him. And so then when the Celtics do get Kyrie and Hayward back, that's such a strong piece for them to have. So I think in the long run, the fact that you're able to have your young players like Rozier, like Tatum, like Jaylen Brown, go 3 rounds in the playoffs, get to a 7th game and kind of show what they need to do to win it. Yeah, I think that's all good experience for them. You just hope, I feel like I would have rather it been a shootout and you lose in like a buzzer beater. This was just kind of like an ugly game throughout. Definitely a rock fight. I thought the Celtics were actually playing pretty solid defense. It's just, I don't know. The like final score 87-79 is not what a game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals should be. It was kind of just a bloodbath the entire way with not the Cavs weren't hitting a lot of shots either. The Cavs didn't hit many threes. They just got those kind of big ones from Jeff Green hit a huge one to counter late and LeBron was LeBron. LeBron is quite good. Good ball player that LeBron.
LeBron is good. All right, we're going to end the Instagram portion of this, especially since people can't hear Jam. So thanks, everybody. you know, we're trying this Instagram Live thing, you know, to give you a little taste of the podcast. Tune into the Locked On Celtics podcast to get the rest of it or to hear what Sam Packard was saying. So, sorry. We'll figure it out. But thanks, everybody, for joining. And we're going to end this portion and continue on with the podcast. Okay, so positives. Yes, you mentioned it. Jason Tatum was awesome. The dunk on LeBron was fucking amazing. I mean, that was...
And the bump afterwards. The bump afterwards just made it so cool. Oh, just like his swagger of doing that.
Yeah, that was awesome. Very, very big game for, you know, a rookie to show up and to play like that and to not get caught up in the moment. Very, very poised throughout. Like, he came out hot and he kind of continued later on when things weren't going well. Not a front running type of performance. So, if you're looking at positives, that's a big one. That's a big one.
I mean, I think another positive is just their defense. It's like they can build off of the kind of excellent defense they had. I thought they played like a really outstanding defense for the entire series and basically for the entire season. And you add in someone like Gordon Hayward to that, who is another 6'8" switchable guy. I think there's a lot that Celtics can build off there. I thought they were phenomenal on defense for the entire year. So. And that with the development of Tatum, I thought Horford played excellently tonight. He had missed a couple of buckets late, but I thought he was the key for them scoring, especially at the end of the first quarter when they actually extended the lead. It was really a Horford and Tatum night, and probably should have kind of put the ball through their hands more often. I mean, we saw them go to that kind of in the fourth quarter, but those two guys really played well. And then, if we're doling out credit, you just have to give credit to Marcus Smart for kind of being a warrior, and he didn't have the greatest night in terms of scoring, only 4 points. He missed a lot of his attempts, but I thought he did a good job of getting into the paint, kind of creating, and then he just had the hustle plays where getting offensive rebounds and doing things like that. So, those are the positives for me. Other than that, it's tough to really find, that much when you only score 79 points.
I know. I think for me, and There's a segment of people on Twitter that are going to be very, very upset about this game and maybe still will be by the time this podcast is out or they listen or whatever. That's fine. I get it. I'm not that upset. Like, this, I don't see this as a missed opportunity necessarily. I feel like this was all house money. It really was. This was all just better than we ever could have expected. And I'm just going to zoom out and take the bigger picture view that getting to the conference finals game 7 with this team, with these guys, is just amazing to me. Like, that's amazing. And I don't know, I stopped getting really, really upset for extended periods of time about this team a long time ago. Like, in game, I'm frustrated watching, sure. But I don't know. I just see much bigger things, and whoever won this game today was going to go out and get destroyed by whoever wins tomorrow's game. And so it's going to be a little bit anticlimactic, I think. I don't think LeBron, for as good as he is going to be able to lead that team past Houston or Golden State. I mean, those teams are significantly better than the Celtics. They just don't have it. And the Celtics would have gone on and probably gotten waxed. We could have talked ourselves into maybe some competitiveness, but.
Oh, I was already there. I was already talking to myself, oh, if the Rockets win without Chris Paul, the Celtics match up well. They've always played the Warriors tough. I was already there. So, you're right. Like, they were definitely playing with house money. I think the Cavs are absolutely going to get waxed. But. Yeah, I mean, it's an amazing season for the Celtics to do accomplished without Gordon Hayward. And even – I don't even really count that one as him being on the team this year. But with Kyrie Irving, kind of the guy you bring in to be the playoff scorer, to be the guy you can lean on in games like this and just go out in there and drop 30, for him not to be in the lineup and for him to get this far is damn impressive. And you have to think that the Boston Celtics, with this experience, with these guys playing so well, adding Hayward and Kyrie Irving are like, and my main man, Daniel Tice, ride or die dude, they're going to be the prohibitive favorites to win the East next year. I mean, even if I think LeBron goes to Philly, I still think I would pick the Celtics in that. And so, and here come the noises, but, you have to feel good about the way the Celtics, played this year and the kind of the growth of the team and their kind of just the outlook of the team moving forward. But, I don't know. You're right. You should have a positive outlook. This game was quite disappointing, especially because you think they had thought they had a chance. But long term, if you zoom out, if you control what you control, not focus on the past, only move forward, the Celtics are doing quite well.
Yeah, it is what it is. I don't know how much longer we're going to go on this podcast because there's not much to say in the moment. We've got a week of kind of processing this and talking about what's good, what's bad, what they need to work on, what they might do. It's going to be really, really interesting to see some of the moves that they make. This could have been Marcus Smart's last game in Boston. It could have been Aaron Baines' last game in Boston. There could have been any number of final games in Boston with Danny Ainge, considering it, you know, what he does. So who knows what the future is going to be. I personally... This game is what it is, and there's no use to me going any further than too many poor shooting nights for a team that held, like you said, the Cavaliers to 87 points, gave themselves a chance to win, and just couldn't hit the shots when it mattered. We can get in and say they should have posted up Al Horford more in the second half because that worked. They should have. Maybe they should have played Aaron Baines more than 18 minutes. And Baines kind of, I don't know, this is the second game in a row where Baines didn't get minutes late where he should have, probably. There's some lineup stuff there. Maybe we can get in Brad Stevens on that a little bit, but I don't know. I'm happy to not talk anymore about this game.
If you're looking for Aaron Baines to be your solution for this, it's just that's not what's going to happen there. He's a very solid defensive player, but he's not going to – the problem was putting the ball in the basket, and he should not be your answer there. Really, you play the guys who've got you there, who have been shooting well the entire year, and those guys didn't make shots. So you're right. Other than more effusive praise for LeBron James, which I don't really want to get into right now, but he – He was quite good. He really puts his presence on the game, and you could kind of feel him taking over, especially in the final moments. He just kind of put his stamp on the game. It was, we're good. I'm normally, as a guy, I can talk forever, but now I'm without speech. I'm speechless.
Yep. I just don't feel like dwelling on the game. The Celtics got good shooting nights out of Tatum and Horford, and then everyone else. No one shot better than 35% overall. Celtics shot 34% in this game, just under 18% from three, just under 74% from the line. Opportunities, missed opportunities where guys, you know, if you don't make your free throws, if you don't make your shots, it's going to be tough. You score 79 points in a conference finals game, that's just not going to do it. So with that, we're going to wrap up the show a little early. So I think we managed to avoid a lot of the noises in the garden. That's good. We're going to cut our losses.
Here they come, right on schedule.
So let's cut our losses and say thanks, everybody, for listening. This has been an amazing season. I know some of you weren't ready for it to end. Nobody was really ready for it to end. Disappointing finish, but an amazing season. We're going to keep podcasting. We're going to go all week. And we'll figure out the rest after that. We'll probably cut it back to three days a week at some point in the next couple of weeks, and then we'll move into July. The offseason comes fast when you make it to the end of the conference finals, and July's around the corner, the draft's around the corner, free agency's around the corner. We're going to be very, very busy. So if you haven't subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast, still time
You're
to
stupid.
Do that.
You're stupid.
still time to get that subscription in. Go click subscribe wherever you get your podcast. If you are a subscriber, we would appreciate a 5-star review and a 5-star rating and a good review so we can continue to rise up the rankings. It's very helpful to us. So that's it. No more basketball being played this season at the Garden. Tough one, but we will continue to be here for you on the Locked On Celtics podcast. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network.